Yeah, good morning still. So I thought Michael was going to end with the song before this one, right? And as he, no, it's fine. No, you just hear me out. As he was ending, and I started singing a song in Arabic that says, Kam anta azim, azim ya Allah, which is a translate, it's a song that was translated from the actual last song that he was singing that says, how great is our God. I was singing this in my heart. And I was just saying, Lord, you are greater than my fear. You are greater than my panic. You are greater than my weaknesses. You are greater than anything and everything that I will go through or I'm going through today. You know, and as I was saying that, and I felt like I was going to sing it out loud in Arabic, but I wanted to, you know, to do you a favor and not hurt your ears today. And Michael started singing, How Great is Our God, which is the same exact song. So I feel like God wants us to proclaim this today. You know, so if you can and if you are able, stand with me today and just say, How great is our God. Just tell God how great he is. A wonderful man of God by name George Mueller once said, you insist on your prayers. You say them out loud. You proclaim them not to change God's mind, but to change your mind about God's promises. Because once you hear it over and over and over, you start believing it. You start believing that, oh yeah, God can do this. God can set me free today. God can do something that is much greater and much bigger than I ever imagined or I ever expected. Amen? So why don't we say this today? Say, today is my day. Today is my day. And today is your day. Look at someone and tell them that today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. You know why? Because God is great. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you because you are greater than anything and everything, Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord, because you're going to show up today and you're going to take us to a new place. I thank you in advance for the healing you're going to provide today. I thank you in advance for the blessings that you're going to pour on us today. I thank you in advance, Lord, for every soul that's going to be set free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have a seat, please. What a wonderful morning. What a great way to start your week. So let's read today from Luke 13, and we're going to start with verse 10. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. Verse 14. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant or angry that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working. He said to the crowd, Come those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, You hypocrites. Each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall and on the Sabbath and lead it out for water. This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released? Isn't it right that we would be released today? Isn't it right for someone you love to be released? Isn't it right for you to be released today? That's why I wanted to say, to begin the meeting with saying, today is the day. Today is the day to be released. Today is the day to be set free. Today is the day where you are going to stop hearing these voices telling you it will never happen for you. You know, have you ever heard those voices before? I've heard them. I still hear them. While I was preparing this message at 4 a.m., thank you very much, I was hearing these voices, you know, that no, it can happen to someone else. It can happen to the Michaels of the world or to the Pastor Alberts of the world or Pastor Mike, but it cannot happen to you. Isn't it right she be released even on the Sabbath? Isn't it right to be healed on God's day? Isn't it right to be, you know, to receive freedom and to receive your sight and to receive healing on God, in God's day? It only fits. This shamed his enemies, but the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. I was reading this, and I shared it with Dina and the kids a couple of weeks ago, and that story stuck with me for a while, for many reasons. But we'll go through it right here, and I'll start you today with Jesus seeing the need for healing. And you might think that today the person who needs healing is just the woman who was bent over. And it's true, she does need the healing, but there is more than that. A lot of people in this area need healing. That leader of the synagogue needs healing. I know when we hear about these people, the Pharisees and the scribes, we always thought of Jesus as just like, you know, trying to fight with them. No, they're kids also. They're his kids. They're his children as well. He loves them. He cares for them. And believe it or not, you and I have a hint of Pharisees, have a hint of hypocrisies that show up every now and then, have a hint of those who oppose Jesus. And we'll talk about that. But the first thing, the first news, the first piece of good news that I want to tell you today is that Jesus saw the woman, that Jesus is seeing you, that Jesus is looking straight at you today. You know, no matter how much or how hard you try to hide in the crowd, no matter how far you go, Jesus is looking straight at you today. God is sending this message today to you personally. Trust me, I wanted to do a completely different message that matches me more a little bit. But this today, when I heard that word, I could not leave this part because Jesus is looking straight to that woman. But Lord, there are so many other people. Why don't you deal with the men? This is the Middle East. If you want to gain popularity, if you want to gain ground, start with the men. You know, start with the wealthy. Start with the Pharisees. Start with the priest. Start with someone who's going to give you ground. Start with someone who's going to give you value. No, I'm starting with you. I can see you and I see your need. But you're going to say, Lord, you can see the good people, but the evil ones like myself, how are you going to look at me? And when you look at me, what are you going to see? In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Everywhere. Not only that, but keeping watch on the wicked and the good. His eyes are everywhere. Yes, he is watching you right now. He's watching you when you're at church. Grace, he's watching you when you're in the living room right now. Grace is a little sick, so she's watching from home, I hope. We'll see when I get home. And in Deuteronomy 32, it says this. Listen to this. In a desert land, he found him. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. God was looking for one of his children. Do you go all the way to the desert? Do you go all the way to the empty places, the wilderness? Do you go to the tough places? Well, when Jesus came to earth, he came to the ghetto. Earth is the ghetto. You know, he came to the ghetto. I mean, he was up in heaven, like, you know, the streets are much nicer than Beverly Hills. It's made out of gold, and, you know, the angels are singing. It's like Christmas season 24/7, you know? Lights, angels, singing. It was beautiful. Maybe snowing. I'm sure there's some snow in heaven. You know, it was a great scene. He leaves all of that and he steps down to us because we were lost. And he knows to find us, he has to step down to the wilderness. The desert, the barren, howling waste, and the wilderness. And then in Luke 15, it says, but maybe you're looking there, but I am one of billions of people, billions of people. It says in Luke 15, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost? Jesus is looking for you, not just seeing you, but he is also looking for you, searching for you. And the moment you are found by him, you are not rebuked. The moment you are found by him, you are carried like a dear child. The moment you are found, you become his prize and joy. The moment you are found, this is the moment he is waiting for eternity. Jesus is looking today. He's searching for someone to heal. He's searching for someone to bless. He's searching for someone to set free. That woman, that was her day. Out of hundreds, maybe thousands of people, Jesus notices her weakness. Jesus notices that she needs help. And in the same way, I'm telling you today, he is noticing someone here today. Matter of fact, he is noticing every single one of us, because every single one of us need help in one area or another, one area or two. He's looking for someone who can dare to extend the hand of faith and just touch him and receive his power. Do we dare today? Do we dare to say, yes, I am the one. I have been bleeding for so long. I have been bleeding emotionally for so long. I have been bleeding financially for so long. I've been bleeding socially for so long. I have been ruining my life one day after another. I need your help. Before you say it, he is looking at you. He is looking for you. Are you interested in Jesus noticing you today, or are you interested in someone else noticing you? Are you interested in that look? Or are you still searching for the cute guy who is, you're hoping that he would notice you on Instagram or Facebook and gives you a like or a love or whatever it is that, you know, what are you interested in? Because a lot of times we are so interested in the approval and the love from our surroundings that we miss the approval and love that God is giving us. We miss it all the time. God is standing right here saying, I love you. And you're standing here saying, I just want someone to love me. God is saying, all of my attention, my eyes are focused, dead focused on you. You are my mission. You are my target. You are the one I love. I want to communicate with you. I want to talk to you. And you're sitting here, can I go to therapy because I need to talk to someone? There's nothing wrong with therapy. I encourage it for a lot of us. But God is calling you, and you're still searching for the same thing that God keeps providing for you. I'll tell you a funny story. It will tell you how smart and true story to how smart and intelligent I am sometimes. About a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was in the market for a new car. Okay, and I drive a lot, and we live in Los Angeles, so traffic is not kind to any of us. So I wanted to make sure that the new car would have the lane change assistant, you know, that little light that on the mirror when you're changing lane, if there's someone in your blind spot, it will turn red or orange or whatever. So I'm searching, and that was the first thing I'm looking at. Finally found the car, got it, and then I go home, but I'm just so excited when you're getting the new car. You're so excited, you're like pushing buttons and like you're trying to speed up, like, you know, to 10 miles and all of that. So I look, and I can't see, even though it was in the details or the specifications of the car, it says that it had the lane change assistant, the blind spot assistant. And I look for it, and I can't find it. And I'm so angry. So angry. I was like, that is misrepresentation, false advertising. I am going to, either they're going to return the car, or I'm going to sue them. Got caught up in so many things, and I'm just so upset with them. See, I am used to that lane change, that little light, is always right here in the mirror, on the outside of the mirror, okay? And I keep looking at this side, I can't find it, and I'm so angry. It turns out that in my car, it was in this area. It's about, what, 10 inch or 12 inch? 10 or 12 inch between the two. Every time, I'm like, what is this annoying light that keeps turning on when I'm trying to change lane? It's so annoying. It 12 inches. I missed it. 12 inches. The light is always there, but I'm looking for it in the wrong place. We miss this. We miss this all the time. God is looking at us. God is calling us. God is showering us with love and mercy. And we're still trying to find it somewhere else. And it could be right there, 12 inches away. I know you're probably thinking how intelligent I am right now. But trust me, Have you ever tried to look for your cell phone while you're talking on it? You know it happened to you. Don't give me that look. It happened to you. Or you're looking for your keys while they're in your hand. It happened to you as well. This is what's happening to all of us. Jesus is looking. Then he calls her and he says, in the description here it says, a woman who has been crippled by an evil spirit. To you and to me, let me just give you how it looks, okay? I hope I don't pull like my hamstring or something. She had a disease where she was like all bent over all the way like this. We know a couple of people who have that disease. So to you and to me, I look at him or I look at her and I say, they probably have a spine problem. They probably have a back problem. Probably they have a couple of discs that need to be realigned. Let's take him to UCLA. Let's take him to a nice hospital that can provide for them. But the Bible describes her here by a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. See, that's what we do sometimes when we look at circumstances, when we look at someone on the outside, and we judge by what we see in the outward. We judge by what we see that is happening in their life. Jesus looks straight to the inside. And he realizes, as the great physician he is, this problem is not just the back or the spine. The problem is that there is an evil spirit that needs to get out of that woman. The problem in your life and in my life isn't the parents. The problem in your life and my life isn't the boss. The problem in your life and my life are the teenagers or the finances or the politics. The problem in our lives are there is an evil spirit that is working day and night to bring us down. And we keep going around it. It is much easier for me to go fight with my brother instead of trying to fight with the evil spirit that's tempting me and tempting my brother. It is much easier for me to go fight with my spouse instead of uniting with my spouse to fight against the enemy. Am I the only one that deals with this, or is, you guys are good? Okay, great. So this message is just for me. Changing circumstances doesn't guarantee change of your heart. You can have the best circumstances out there. You can have the best living conditions out there. Doesn't mean that your heart is going to be changed. He can easily heal that disc. He can easily heal that spine. God spoke a word, heaven and earth were just created. But for him to save you and to save me, he had to come down, live on this earth, live here 33 years, preach for 3 years, and then die on the cross and raise again for him to heal what you and I actually suffer from. The outward issue is going to come after. So the main problem, before we get to that, in Matthew 9, if you have time today, go read the story of a crippled man who was brought to Jesus by his friends. And when Jesus saw him, he said, let me read it to you, your sins are forgiven. And people looked at that and were like, what are you talking about? I just need my legs back. Well, I'm going to give you your legs back. But Samson had the strongest legs probably anyone of us can have, right? That didn't guarantee that he was saved, or that didn't guarantee that he was going to walk the right way. He kept walking into the wrong direction all the time. So to prove his point, he said, what is easier? To just tell someone that you are healed, or your sins are forgiven, or get up and healed. But let me prove to you the power I have. You know what? Get up and walk. Just to give you a little illustration of what I can do, but you keep missing it. He got it, but you keep missing it. I am here to change your heart first, and then change your circumstances. And then he wanted to address the outward issues as well. She was bent over and was unable to stand straight. You know, whatever is going on in your heart, whatever is going on in your spirit, sooner or later will come out. I know we're really good at hiding things, and we are great at it sometimes, but sooner or later will come out. So you can fool me today. You can fool me for a year or two. But sooner or later, it will come out. She could not walk straight, living in pain. That evil spirit that was inside of her caused her so much pain. The same pain that we go through. The same heartaches that we go through. The same nights that we are staying up all night thinking and trying to analyze things. There is something there. And it's not just the back. It's something completely different. She couldn't walk straight. She couldn't serve. She couldn't fulfill her purpose in life. What a miserable life she was living. It goes back to the evil spirit. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." And then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. You know that Jesus is calling today? First, we started that Jesus is looking, right? And he's trying to point out to you and to me that there is a bigger issue than what you've been praying about, what you've been thinking about, or what you've been consumed with. You've probably been consumed with the finances. You've probably been consumed with the politics or whatever it is that's going around right now. Whatever it is that's keeping you up at night. He's trying to tell you there is a bigger issue. Can we address that bigger issue? And as soon as we address it, I promise you will be healed of the other stuff as well. But first, let's address this. So he calls her. The same way he's... Okay. The same way he's calling you and calling me right now. The same way he's calling, I am at the door knocking. If you open the door, if you open the door of your heart right now, if you open your eyes, if you open your mind right now and start and receive him as a guest at least. Say, let's talk. Let's talk, Lord. Come inside and let's talk. He will come in. Dine with you and you with him as well. But here's the thing about God's voice. God's voice is so powerful. It is so powerful that it was heard by a man who died a few days before. Lazarus, he is dead, Lord. He's been dead. And you know this. He's dead to you and to others. But my voice is so strong that can be heard even by the dead. Even if you're completely gone today, even if you're not listening to anything, I know that God is speaking to you right now. I know that God is touching something in your heart right now. I know He's speaking to something very specific to you and something very specific to me today. Even if you are completely gone, God's voice, I guarantee you, is going to reach you today. God's voice is also consistent. He is not a man that he should change his mind. He's not going to change his mind about you. Okay? He's not. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. His voice is going to keep following you wherever you go. You might go to the loudest club in Los Angeles and his voice is still going to be there. Trust me, it's going to ruin your night. So you might not, we might as well not go and spend the money. You know, I know there is like a fee to get in and all of that. His voice will ruin your night. So please listen to his voice at least here at church before you go out. He calls her and starts a conversation with her. God's voice is for everyone. He desires that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is one of my favorite parts in this story, when he calls her, "Dear woman." When he called his mother, he called her, "Woman." You know, which is not like it's not a term of disrespect or anything. It's like ma'am, very much. But he calls her, "Dear woman." One of the most amazing, one of the things that show you how gentle and kind Jesus was. Not only that he was seeing her, not only that he was focused on her, not only that he called her out of everyone, but when he addresses her with such love, respect, and admiration. Is that a word? Admiration? Dear woman, do you know that you are dear, not stranger? I know you've been feeling like you're a stranger for a long time. I know you were told before that you're not worthy, when you're not worth it, or you're not worthy, or you're trash, or you're this or that. A lot of us heard these terms before. But Jesus, when he is addressing you today, he is addressing you as a dear child. Dear woman, you're not a stranger. You are dear and so loved by me. You are loved, not forgotten. Please hold on to that today. You are loved, not forgotten. You are dear to me. You're not a burden on me. A lot of times we think we burden God when we come to him with all of our prayers. We're not a burden at all. You're the main focus. You're not an extra. You're not just something in the background. You are his main focus. Lord, there are thousands of people, or hundreds of people. There was another situation where thousands of people were gathered around Jesus, like, you know, crowd. They were about to crush him and the disciples, and one person touched him, a touch of faith, and she was healed out of all these thousands. That one was so special to him, just like you are and just like I am today. You know that you are the focus of his mission. You are the focus of his mission. He came to this earth specifically for you, that you would have hope, that you would have a chance, that you would be restored. If you're looking for love and validation and attention, he's got it for you today. He's calling you dear and put your name. True story, when I was 1992. Well, when did we have the earthquake here in LA? 1992 or 94? Anyway, so my father was here in the United States, and I was back home in Egypt still. So 1992, I was 11 years old, and I was so connected to my father, so connected. And he was here during my birthday. And I was so down. I was so depressed. I was very sick as a child. I was very sick. And I was literally, I know this might sound a little strange, and my family, hopefully they forgive me when they hear this, but really I had suicidal thoughts as an 11-year-old. And the fact that my father was away, it made it even much worse. And then on my birthday, or the week of my birthday, while my father was here, there was no social media, the phone calls are very difficult, my father sends me a card from the United States to this very tiny, small village in Egypt that has like two people living there. You know, so it's very hard to send letters, to send mail, and that it would be, you know, be reached. And I open the card, and the first thing he says, "Dear Asam," just seeing that, I know his writing. I know his handwriting. Just seeing that, it took this little 11-year-old from a place of complete depression and just wanting life to end, to, oh my gosh, my dad is coming back soon. I'm still dear to someone. I know that someone loves me. He will be back, and he'll be back very soon, and this is all going to go away. Just hearing that word, you know, don't underestimate what a word of love you can say to your child or to your spouse or to a friend or to someone. Just tell them how dear they are. You are healed from the inside first, okay? And it's going to get a little, I want you to focus with me. You are healed of your sickness. But notice this, okay? When he talks to her, he said, "You are healed of your sickness," okay? And then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. There is a little pause here, okay? Her healing came on two parts. The first one, you are healed of your sickness. Then he touches her, and then she stands straight. The first part that I want us to focus on today is that you are healed of the authority of the devil. You know that evil spirit that he saw? When he saw her, he thought, no, there is an evil spirit there. There is some weakness there that is beyond the physical weakness that I see. Let me read this to you. In 1 John 3:7, it says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He, just as he," which is God, "is righteous." In verse 8, that's what I want you to hold on today. "He who sins," not to hold on like, you know, but just to memorize it. "He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You get that? He who sins is of the devil. Got it? That's easy. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. From day one, we know that the devil was sinning. Easy, right? Easy enough. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. For this purpose, God sent his Son to this earth or to this world, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil was taking his time. He was doing whatever he wanted to do, and someone had to come and stop him. And that one is the one that's standing right in front of this woman talking to her. That is the same one that's talking to you and talking to me this morning. Because the devil has been deceiving you and me for centuries. He's been deceiving. He is the one that he deceived Adam. And don't look down at Adam, because we are still deceived until this day. But just like Adam listened to him and created this whole mess for all of us, Jesus came, Jesus was manifested, Jesus was born, Jesus came to earth so that he can destroy all the lies, that he can destroy all the bondage, that he can destroy all the chains and everything that the enemy has created, so you and I can be set free. Say amen to that. So first, he sets her free from the bondage of the devil. Not only that, but he sets her free from the bondage of the flesh. Are you ready to read with me? All right. So in Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life. What is the Spirit of life? The Spirit of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen to this. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. So God gave the law to Moses. God gave the law through the prophets and all of them. And 2 seconds later, the law was broken. Because the flesh that we have. Because we have a sinful flesh. Listen to this. I'm getting there, I promise. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Listen to this. God did by sending his own Son, the Son that again was manifested, the Son that was born, the Son that is talking to her right now, sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. He took flesh just like yours and mine. He had eyes, he had ears, he had hair, he looked like me, for sure. I mean, like all of us. Don't get me wrong, even though I would like to think so. He condemned sin in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus, we are living under this flesh. And because of what Adam did, the flesh became corrupt, right? And Jesus comes in to show us how it's done. In another way, okay, so let me just apologize first, because Pastor Albert is an expert in Romans, okay? And I'm doing it my own way. He's about to slit his wrist. But, you know, he loves me and he's going to let it go. So it's like, you know, the flesh is beating us one by one. And then the prophets are not working. The Moses was not working. So God was like, son, Jesus, go down and show him how it's done. That's exactly how he did it. Don't argue with that. So Jesus comes down and he is living in the same flesh that you and I are living in. He was tempted, he got angered, he was hungry, he was betrayed. He went through a lot of the things that you and I will go through, right? But he condemned sin, or he eliminated sin. He chose not to sin. See, what makes Christianity different, it's not sets of laws and rules. We have Jesus who lived this life, and he is offering you and me to show us the way by saying, I am the way, the truth, and life. I know what the flesh, how the flesh is fighting against you. I came also to show you how to fight this flesh. I came to give you that Spirit of life. That Spirit of life will lead you the same way it led me. that you're not so weak against your flesh. That not the second you see something you desire, you're like, okay, I give up. That's not what Jesus did. He condemned sin in the flesh, what the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Jesus came to set us free from the devil, the authority of the devil. He was manifested. He lived here so he can break every and destroy every bondage that the enemy has in your life. Not only that, but also the flesh that you cannot separate. And if you go back to Romans 7, you will see that he wanted to do good. He wanted to get up in the morning and change the world, but something is pulling him back, that he was screaming, saying, who is going to save me from this? Here he is. He came, he saved, and he opened the way and opened the door for you and me. Not only that, but he is willing to grab you by the hand, live within you, and walk with you so that you put this flesh under control. I'm so sorry for torturing Romans for you, but you know, this is just my way. See, not only that, but he also beat and conquered the world for you. The whole world was offered to him, and he's like, what is that? What is that? I don't want this. I had it all. I don't want this. What I want is him. What I want is her. What I want are these people. This is what I want. This world is going to be gone. I have a much better kingdom. I conquered the world, and guess what? You and I are participating in that as well. He got rid of the authority of the evil spirit. He got rid of the authority of the flesh. He got rid of the authority of the world. Jesus is not only healing you from addictions, not only that he can heal you from addictions, he can heal you from why you became addicted in the first place. You see the difference? Sometimes we come to him and say, you know what, just heal me from this or heal me from that. Yeah, that's fine, I can. But let's back up. Why did you even participate in this? There is a different need. There is a deeper need and desperation that I want to heal in you first. And when you're healed from that, it will be much easier for you to walk through it. Amen? I'm so sorry I'm taking much longer than I... You know, but Michael just went like 2 hours later, but so. Then he touched her, and she instantly could stand straight. When the insides changed, don't worry about the outside. It will catch up. Trust me, it will catch up. You want peace in your life? You want peace in your home? You want peace around you? It will catch up. Just start with the inside. A verse that we all know in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So transformation is on the outside, right? But the renewing of your mind is where? It's inside. So it starts inside, and then it starts on the outside. Have you ever seen a little, like chicken, you know, the little ones? When it starts, you know, it doesn't have a lot of feather and all of that, right? As a baby, it doesn't have a lot of those. But the feather starts growing and, you know, starts having stronger wings. Any bird, right? Do we put these feathers on the outside? Or as it grows inside, the feather starts showing up? That's what happens, right? This is what happens to us. When we grow on the inside, the outside starts catching up. See, we often want to change things the other way around. Lord, why don't you bless me? Why don't you change my circumstances? Why don't you give me a bigger church, a bigger business, a bigger home, so I can be changed on the inside? Let me give you a few examples really quick. Solomon was super wealthy. The man was rich. Like if your home has like one of those theaters, you know those theaters like with the big screen, you made it, right? Solomon didn't just have a home theater. Solomon had a Universal studio in his home. Like really, he had singers, he had actors, he had it all. Like he wouldn't turn on the TV. He would just, you know, order the actors and actresses and singers and all the musicians. He was filthy rich. Like, not even Elon Musk. Elon Musk is like a broke, you know, homeless guy, like, you know, compared to Solomon. That didn't guarantee him not sinning. At the end of his age, he started worshiping the sun and the bowl and this and that, Solomon himself. Samson was super strong, right? Very, very strong. But the inside of him was completely ruined. He kept making one mistake after another that led to his death and destruction. So many other examples in the Bible. Peter saw Jesus performing miracles more than anyone. Peter didn't, if you put me in a 3-foot jacuzzi, I might drown. This is how bad of a swimmer I am. Really, I'm really bad, okay? Peter walked on water, and not just any water, a water that had a storm, and he walked there, right? All of these great experiences, all of these great things around him, still, there is some weakness in his heart and in your heart. Let's address that. And then Jesus, not only seeing that woman that needed to be healing, he saw a man also that needed healing. And this is where we get usually like, he's a Pharisee or he's a this or that. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. There are 6 days, and I want you to hold on to this as well. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd, come and be healed, not on the Sabbath. While the voice of God was telling this woman, dear woman, today is your day. Remember what we said earlier today? Remember that? When we stood up and, you know, can you roll the video? I just want them to see it. You know, there is another voice that's coming your way right now, or will be coming your way after the service, that will say, not today. Not today. The voice will come today, no, you're going to make the same mistakes again. No, you fell, so you know what? There is no change. That same voice comes to you and comes to me all the time. That same voice was rebuking the crowd, including the woman that was there, saying, what you did was wrong. What you did didn't last. What you did was a sin. What you did was completely out of order. Not today. It's an angry voice because someone was just set free. You know that heaven rejoices when someone repents, right? You know that heaven rejoices when someone is set free. But we also, there is another kingdom that's raging when someone is set free. Do you think they're going to stay quiet? Do you think the enemy and the kingdom of darkness is going to stay quiet when you make a decision today that you're listening to the voice of God? When you're making a decision today that you're going to follow God, do you think they're going to be quiet? They're going to send all kind of letters. They're going to send all kind of threats. They're going to send all kind of warnings. They're going to send all kind of voices that are coming your way, making you doubt God, making you doubt your decisions, making you doubt what you heard today, making you focus on my weaknesses and my horrible accent and all of that. They're going to make you focus on everything to distract you from what God is trying to do and what God just gave you today. The voice was so quick. So quick. She just got up and bam, right in the face. Luckily, Jesus is still around. Luckily, Jesus is still around. The evil voice will tell you there are more chances for you. You don't have to make a solid commitment today. There are 6 days in the week. He is telling them, you know what? Today doesn't have to be your day. There are more chances coming up your way. There are 6 more days. Today is just one day. Who cares? You don't have to make it happen today. You're 20, you're 15, you're 40, you're 60. You have a lot of chances coming your way. There are 6 more days. That voice that always tells you, you can delay, you can wait, there are more chances coming your way. Have you ever heard that voice before? You don't have to serve God right now. You still got a long time to go, and you just need more experience. You know, you just need to be more and more like Pastor Mike and Pastor Albert, and you know, you need to look, you look at them and they look right. You know, he's saying, stop it. they just like look like they should preach, you know, but you still need time, or you still have time. There are six more days in the week. There is that voice that always wants you to delay, but God's voice is telling you today is the day of salvation. Today is the time of acceptance. Today is your day, not tomorrow, not the day after. Today is your day, and today is my day. The voice that agrees with you, even, that you do need healing. Okay? I agree that you need healing. But we're just going to heal we're going to heal your back. We're going to heal your money situation. We're going to heal your emotional thing. Maybe just picking up a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or maybe just doing a couple of things. You do need healing. I agree, but just not today. Come tomorrow. Come tomorrow. Jesus will be around. God will be around. He will be, but you might not be. And you might lose on something today that you cannot get back. And that's a fact. And that's a fact. Yes, God is the God of restoration. But every day we spend away from Him is an opportunity or a chance that is lost. That is a fact. There is an evil voice telling you that you can learn or you can hear, but you cannot do. Hear the word of God. Come to church. Listen to worship. Actually, maybe you should worship as well. But after you leave here, you don't live in what you heard. You just hear it, but don't do it. There is an evil voice that tells you, come to church, but don't come to God. There is an evil voice that tells you, you can take, you can receive, but don't give. Don't participate. Don't share in the ministry. Don't share in the work of God. There is an evil voice always going to tell you something that is not from God. And there is a voice that will tell you, relationship with God is work, is a lot of work. It's based on your work. And so far, you haven't been a great worker. You know, to that guy, ministry and healing, the leader of the synagogue, was his job. It's what he did for a living. But for Jesus, it's what he lived to do. It's what he lived to do. My prayer for you, if you're watching or if you're here at church, that Christianity wouldn't be what you're doing for a living, but it would be what you're living to do. When I heard that, or when I wrote that, while I was like, where I am from this? Is Christianity what I do? Or is it what I live to do? This is what I'm living here. My home, my gym, my work, my church. Or is it just Sunday morning? Or is it just Wednesday night when I share in the Bible study? There is that voice that will always come and to take that away and confuse that. Make you feel like the relationship with God is just a one day a week type of thing. And then the rest, you can just do whatever. The relationship with God is just a work, 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 work. No, it's grace. It's a lot of grace. And it's faith. But when you have grace and when you have faith, when you have salvation, you want to work. Why wouldn't I? I love working with God. I love working with my Father. Why not? Jesus extends healing to him as well. I have about 5 minutes. Is that okay? Is that okay? 5 more minutes? No promises. So, but the Lord replied, you hypocrites. And just notice that he wasn't just talking to him, even though he was just one person. He was talking to all the hypocrites out there. All the hypocrites out there, he's talking to them saying, I love how Jesus can put you in your place, but you still love him, you know? Like, it's such a talent, you know? He can put you in your place. He can call what you've done, but in the same way, you just can't leave him. So look what he says. You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall and on the Sabbath and lead it to the water? That means you secretly do things on the Sabbath. You just don't think of it. But you know what? They're good things. You're doing the right thing. You're showing mercy to your ox or your donkey. You're showing mercy to them. You're feeding them. And in another situation, we said, if your son falls in a well or a pit or something, you're going to pick him up, right? Is God going to judge you for that? Absolutely not. These are things that you're doing, and you do naturally because they are the right things to do. You're not breaking God's law. OK? Okay? You're not disappointing God by doing these things. You do them actually, and good job at doing them. You have something good in you. God deposited something in you. Just use it. Just use it the way it should be used. And let's go really quick to this dear woman. So after Jesus heard that voice, after that woman and the crowd heard that voice, you feel like someone put a, what is it called, wet blanket on the scene? You know, the people are happy. People are excited. This woman who's living like that, I can't even do it again because my hamstrings will probably tear. Really, like people are excited and happy and rejoicing. And this guy, that voice, that ugly voice comes to you and to me. But you know what? Relax. Jesus will take it back to where it started again. This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right she be released, even on the Sabbath? See, as the evil voice rebuked the people and to try to steal the moment, Jesus restores that moment back to every single one of us. So when you hear that voice of today is not your day, you're weak, you're going to go back, Jesus is ready to restore that moment back to you, to sit you back to who you are, his child, his daughter, his son, his daughter. And then he does this. He proclaims that she didn't do anything wrong. She's still dear. She's still like in a place of respect and honor. And then he connects her with Abraham. Abraham. She is the daughter of Abraham. He connected her to the promise. He connected her to her to his best friend. He connected her to someone that they will all realize that you are looking down on her, but she is the daughter of Abraham. When God is connecting you and me, he's not connecting to you and me to Abraham. Guess who is he connecting to you and me to? Good job, Dahlia. To Jesus himself. This is your place and this is my place. We are connected to Jesus because we were bought by with a price. We were not bought by gold or silver. We were not redeemed by the blood of cows and sheep and all of that. We were bought and we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus himself. Dear woman, she is the daughter of Abraham. For 18 years, I have been in the scene only for about 2 years. So you had 16 years to work on her, to work with her, to pray for her, and you have done nothing. So you know what? Today is my day. So today, I'm going to do what I do. You've been going 52 Sabbaths, you know, a year, excuse me, for all these years, and you have done nothing. Day after day, week after week, you're going to church, you're doing this and this, and you've done nothing for her. So let me do what I do. And that's what God wants to do to you and to me today. He wants to do what only he can do. Not religious, not pastor, not synagogue, not church, what only he can do. I can sit here and preach to you all year long. If God doesn't touch you, it's not going to happen. You can go from one church to another. You can go from one pastor to another. You can go from one message to another. And if you don't receive the touch of Jesus, it's not going to happen. It's not the pastor's problem. It's not the church problem. It's you need a touch from God himself. Today is the day. It's funny how he considered that healing on the Sabbath is wrong. But today is the day. Today is God's day, right? Let's make it God's day. Let's really make it God's day. When you come to church, I'm going to end here. When you come to church, I'm going to start learning that myself. When you come to church, say that this is God. Well, sorry, before you come to church, say this is God's day. So if I have to stay here 15 minutes later because Michael, you know, went really late with the worship, it's his fault. It's okay. It's God's day. If we have an altar call and we are coming to the altar as we were singing, it's God's day. It's his day. He can do as he wishes. It's God's day. If I need to stay and pray with someone, you know what? It is God's day because today is the day. You know, he sees her just like he sees you. He's pointing to something deeper inside. That's the problem. It's not the light in the dashboard. It's something mechanical that needs to be fixed. He wants to touch that. And as soon as that is healed, everything else will fall into place. But that's not the end, because you're going to hear the voice. That ugly voice is going to come today. Might come tomorrow, might come in a month or a week. It might come in a year. Rebuke that, just like Jesus did. Say, that's not from God. What's from God is grace and mercy. What's from God is healing and complete freedom. Amen? All right, let's pray together. If you feel like you've been under the control of the enemy, Jesus came, was manifested. He came and lived to destroy every work of the enemy. Every work that the enemy has done in your life or around you, Jesus came to destroy it, and he did destroy it. Just to let you know, the enemy is now under your feet because of the work on the cross. If it's the flesh that's beating you over and over and you feel like you can't have a break, Jesus lived here in that same flesh you and I have, but he lived by the Spirit. And he can show you and me how to do it. He is the way, the life, and he is the truth. If you want to learn how to live, he can show you how to live. He's not leaving you alone. The law just told you what to do or what not to do. Jesus is going to show you, and he's going to work with you, and he's going to be with you on actually doing it. The issue is much deeper than the arguments you're having with your children or with your spouse or with your boss or with your coworkers. The issue is much deeper, and God can heal these issues. And the other issues will be healed as well. Don't give in to that voice that's going to come to you after you make a decision to follow God. Come to make a decision that you're going to listen to his voice and come and receive the healing. You're going to hear a voice that make you doubt. You're going to hear a voice that will make you fear. You're going to hear a voice that will try to make you postpone and just wait for another day. You're going to hear a voice that will make you feel like God's work is too much. It's too much work. Actually, Jesus said, all who are heavy burdened, come and give me your burdens. He wants to take your burden. He's not coming to add any of your burdens. It's a lie. What the enemy is telling you right now, that Christianity is this exhausting work that you cannot do, it's a lie. It's about sharing with God, sharing in the victory that he already achieved. Jesus beat the flesh. Jesus beat the enemy. Jesus beat the world. You and I are invited to participate in this victory. Dear, put your name. Insert your name, please. You are so loved. You are so loved. He is focused on you. He is focused on restoring you and restoring me this morning. He sees the need. He sees that you're hurting. He sees that there is pain. He sees that there is misunderstanding. And he wants to correct it all. Spend the next few minutes. Depends on where you are. If you haven't heard him, or if you feel like you are not seen by him, or if you feel like your issues are too deep, whatever it is, wherever you are, or you've been listening to these voices that keep stealing your salvation, keep stealing the joy of your salvation, keep stealing the peace that God gave you. Whatever it is that you're listening to, bring that voice to God as well.